Welcome in to Real Kipper and Bourne and McKee. I'm sitting here today with no Nick Kyprios, joined by my boy Sammy. Sammy, how are you?
Doing well, buddy. Thought we might hear something from Kipper today, like, hey, boys, have a good day. I'm on the ghost.
Gone.
He's gone. He's off the face of the earth. So,
like, I'm going to take the day off today, and I mean, I'm taking it off. You know, we got a weird week. Got a couple of baseball games that may take us off the air in a couple days. Yeah. So Kip took advantage of it. Mm-hmm. Going to get a little sunshine in Florida, play some golf, which, hey, totally appreciate that. Rest up for the long Leaf Stanley Cup playoffs run. You got to be fresh. We may be working on the weekends once they're in the conference final.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to be missing any of that.
Live on location in the Stanley Cup finals that we're going to have to do. So it's
going to be tough. I got to believe. If they went on like a deep run, we would do some stuff.
Oh.
We would do some like, hey.
Seems like we're throwing some money around, so maybe.
Well, yeah, chucking a couple of dollars around here.
Who knows, though?
Anyway, that would be, that's the hope for now. So to set the stage for everything right now, the Florida Panthers play the Montreal Canadiens tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Then on a back-to-back, they come to Toronto and play the Toronto Maple Leafs. So the Florida have a couple of, I guess, meaningful matchups to their opponents. The game tonight is one that for Montreal is pretty crucial. They do have a pretty soft schedule after this Montreal game.
Mm-hmm.
Or sorry, after this Florida game. Montreal then would have Boston, Philadelphia, Nashville, Detroit. So some winnable games for them. But Florida coming in tomorrow night. What do we know, Sammy? Is it lineup decisions, goalies? What have we heard?
So I'm just looking to see if the starting goalies tonight for the so the Panthers are starting Vanecek tonight, so against the Habs, and then they're going to go with Bobrovsky tomorrow against the Leafs, which, you know, tonight is really important for them because if they lose tonight potentially to, and it's hard to picture them losing twice in a row to the Montreal Canadiens when they're in a playoff race, even with Vitek Vanecek behind between the pipes, then they come into tomorrow 3 points back of the Leafs and potentially, with a loss in regulation, 5 points back. So tonight is a sneaky, huge game for them.
Yeah.
Get that. Is it, you almost wish it wasn't on the second half of back-to-back in terms of, I don't know, quality-wise or whatever, but it's a good break for the Leafs.
Hate for them to have an excuse.
Yeah, you know, but it's a good spot for the Leafs to get them coming in off the back-to-back, and they're going to get, you know, they're a older team, played a lot of hockey. It's a good chance for the Leafs to potentially, you know, put a little distance between them and them.
Yeah, there is a fantasy world here where, you know, Florida is scuffling a little bit. Matthew Tkachuk, still not in the lineup, though he is skating.
Yeah.
Which is development because you got to believe you're going to get him in the playoffs.
Wonder when he'll play.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it.
What's the Leafs' first playoff date? If they're playing them, what's their first game they're going to play?
But he's not in right now. Ekblad's not in right now. Yeah. They haven't exactly been on fire. So there's a world where the Leafs could be 3 points up, 5 points up with like 7 games left if things were to go well over the next couple of days. So needless to say, want to start your best guys.
Yeah.
You want to have a playoff lineup. I don't think we're experimenting anymore.
No.
Now as the coach, you're saying this is the lineup I think can win for us. I do think that the scratches that are coming in and out, whether it be Holmberg, Yarncroke, Robertson, whoever it may be, this is what's going to happen in playoffs. This is not a one-time thing. Robertson's never getting back in. They're going to rotate these guys who are out of the lineup. So for tomorrow night, looks like Robertson is not going to be in again. And in net, Anthony Stolarz.
Yeah, so a couple things there. I think them starting Stolarz, and I know that they play Florida again in a week, but tomorrow night, them starting, that you cannot take that as anything other than a statement, first of all, and we'll go back to that. But you look at this lineup that we have in front of us here, and the only real change I can see in the playoffs is Pacioretty potentially coming in. He's getting closer. He, you know, he was taking part in practice today. You know,
he's skidded.
Yeah, he
contact
really looked,
jersey.
Really looked like he was flying around. So it looked like he's going to be a potential option for them in the playoffs when it starts. Hakanpää was out there, but I don't think you or I are either holding our breath for the potential of him playing any hockey.
Well, two things on this. Hearing whispers that not as ready as Pacioretty.
Yeah.
He's not on the same timeline. Yeah. And let's just say he was 100%. We even sure he's better than Ben Y. He hasn't played all year.
He played twice, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Two games. I don't know when or where they were, but he did play.
So I'm going to go ahead and say it. Like, yeah. I don't really care.
No.
Like, you know, great if he gets healthy. Yeah. Maybe he can go play with the Marlies and get some reps in. But your starting D-core is going to be McCabe, Tanev, Riley, Carlo, Benoit, Ekman, Larson in game one, assuming everyone's healthy.
And looking at years past, I think that's deeper than it's been in a really long time.
So yeah.
You have to feel good about that. But no, I think Patch Reddy going in for Holmberg is pretty much the only thing you could picture for a potential game one difference. But Robertson, listen, like, he had a good stretch this year where he had some big goals for them. He contributed. He was great. But when it gets to this time of year, I don't think he's just really an option. I find it harder and harder to believe that he's going to be a really big contributor. Maybe when they go on further in the playoffs, potentially they get past the first round, somebody gets hurt, he has to play more. I could see that. But to start the playoffs, I don't see him being involved.
I hope by now people have listened to me enough on radio. This is, you know, many years of doing this. I hope by now they know that when I say in January, February, Liljegren's not playing in playoffs or Robertson's not playing in playoffs, it's not my personal vendetta.
Mm-hmm.
The coaches don't want to play those guys compared to the other guys they have. And so for Robertson, I can see a world where he gets in game two or game three where they haven't scored and they need something. But I think we're pretty clearly at a point where he's not the first man up.
So
he'd be the first man in after.
Yeah. So to go to Stolarz tomorrow, surprised? Or is it a statement for you or is it natural rotation?
Here's the thing. Like you just said, you know, this seems like a statement.
It does to me.
But to me, it's a statement without meaning to make a statement. Like you have to start one of the two guys.
Yeah.
And starting,
like you're bringing up Matt Murray for the start or something. Like, right. It's one of the two guys that are going to play.
One of the two guys. Yeah. And starting Joseph Wohl would be almost bizarre at this point.
Yeah.
You know, given he didn't look great in his last start. Stolarz did look solid.
Yeah.
To me, it's just like one of them is playing a little better than the other guy. You need to win the game.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm trying to read too much Toronto narrative into this. But it just feels like tomorrow kind of feels like a game one to me. Mm-hmm. Where it is of huge importance. And this is all relative to setting up a first round matchup with the Ottawa Senators, who have owned you for two seasons. Like that's the prize in all this, but it's definitely better than playing Florida or Tampa.
No,
it just is. So I think for me, for them to start him is a pretty not big statement because you did make a good point, but
you're saying it does mean something.
It's the biggest game of the year and they're starting Anthony Stolarz.
There it is.
So
there's after tonight, there's seven left.
Yeah.
Or after tomorrow night, there's seven left. They clearly have made a decision here that he gives them the best chance to win, which is the calculus is going to be the same 2.5 weeks from now.
And next week, I think it's Tuesday, Wednesday, they have Florida and Tampa back-to-back. One of those guys is going to get Florida. One of those guys will go Tampa. So maybe you flip it next week and you go Wohl against Florida.
Because I don't think Stolarz – I think Stolarz has gotten Florida both times.
And lost both times. Yeah. He's 0-2. So, I mean, they asked Berube about that a little bit. And he's like, oh, you know, the whole team's 0-2, so –
I love that answer. He didn't go out there playing around a golf.
Yeah.
The whole squad lost.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on facing Florida.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last game we played him here was, you know, a good hockey game. 5-on-5 was tight. Obviously, they scored two PP goals. Game for me could have went either way. I think we played them the right way. You know, this team's going to check you. They're a hard team to play against. There's no doubt. I mean, there's not a lot of room out there. You got to fight for your ice. And you know, I can go over the whole thing. Like, it's just you gotta be solid in all areas of your game against this team.
When I think of the way that people talk about Florida, I think about their forwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think about Barkov and Reinhart and Bennett and now Marchand and Lundell and Luostarinen. And, you know, these are solid defensive forwards.
Yes.
You know, that back end, I understand they're going to get Ekblad back at some point.
Perfectly rested.
Perfectly rested Ekblad. And also perhaps more muscular than he was several months ago.
Or like chip on his shoulder, proving to everybody that it wasn't just the roids.
I do want... The whole, like, steroid punishment is so funny to me. It's like you get all the gains from having done whatever substance you took, and then you get rested up, presumably more gym time lean it out a little bit. Yeah. Like, and if you've made the money in your career, it's like, what is the downside of this? I just got a bunch of rest and a nice boost, and here we go.
I saw Jurickson Profar for the Braves.
Yeah.
He got an 80-game suspension. I'm not sure. It might be his second suspension, so this is maybe why it is, but he's not playoff eligible this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he got an 80-game suspension.
That's great.
Without pay.
And two is not, good, right?
Yeah, so he's not playoff eligible. Like, one can be a mistake,
sure,
but
totally
two or whatever, but I thought that was pretty interesting.
I don't know. Or, you know, I'm not saying Ekblad did something on purpose, but definitely you do it twice. It's like, okay, well, at that point, it falls on you.
Yep.
But, yeah, so their back end, the bottom pair is Tobias Bjornfot and Uvis Bolinskis.
Yeah.
Not saying these guys are not. I'm saying the Panthers are a bit flawed this year.
For sure.
They're on pace for, you know, a low 100 points or whatever. This is a team that I don't know that the Leafs would be massive underdogs against.
I think it would be minus 115, minus 105 for the Florida Panthers.
Probably. Absolutely. That's nailed.
And if they went into a series against the Tampa Bay Lightning, if the Leafs end up winning this division down the stretch here, and it's Leafs, Ottawa in the first round, and Tampa versus Florida in the other series, I'm not necessarily sure I would pick Florida against Tampa.
No.
I think Tampa is a better hockey team. I think they've shown better all year there. I think they feel like a little bit younger, a little bit hungrier, like the new wave of guys that have kind of taken over that franchise. They've done such a great job of like the Hagels and Gensel, and like bringing in these new
Bjorkstrand Gord was like such Tampa Bay.
Yeah, really good. So I think that'd be a great series, and that's just stay out of that series so you can let those two teams have war crimes against each other.
Let Bennett separate two shoulders, then send us Tampa Bay.
Sure.
That would be ideal.
Yeah. So, but they're like, without Matt, okay, we can play this clip. Play clip two on the Panthers and the discipline against them, please, there.
You know, they're going to do their thing that they do, and they're going to try to disrupt you and try to draw you into a penalty. You just got to, you can't react to it. You got to initiate and stand your ground. But, you know, you got to be careful with taking the extra shot or swing or, you know, it's hard. But at the same time, that's what they want and can't get drawn into that.
I don't know. I think back to that Panthers game. They gave up a couple. I'm trying to think of the penalties, but the difference in that game was those two power play goals. Sam Bennett scored one. Mm-hmm. Remember David Camp tried to skate behind the goalie? Was that in that game? Was there I'm trying to think. Anyways, I'm trying to think of the penalties in that game. I think there was a punch by Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Hey, it's got to be so
reverse hit. Was it a reverse hit?
Yeah.
The LVL one? Anyway.
I just remember one of them being a stupid penalty in that game that cost him a goal.
Right.
And it's got to be so hard going up against these guys and trying to be like, this is a playoff intensity game. It's a playoff intensity game. We got to be juiced up. But then have Sam Bennett and now Brad Marchand, and if you ever play them in the playoffs potentially, have Matt Tkachuk added to that.
Ugh.
Like, having that element is such a huge advantage for them because I don't think it comes naturally to any of the Leafs, so their natural response is retaliation, and that's always what gets called. So for a coach, that's got to be a hard thing to, like, coach up.
Yeah. Right?
Like, he says he wants them to be on the front foot, initiate, but, like, they never really do.
No.
They've stood up for themselves better, like we talked about yesterday, but it's never been, like, we're the ones falling on a goalie.
So this is actually a perfect time to bring up a conversation you and I had the other day where when I played junior hockey, our coach would put the opposing lineup on the board, on the whiteboard. We'd have a team meeting.
Yeah.
And he'd say there's circles and there's squares.
Yeah.
And he would circle certain numbers and there'd be squares around certain numbers. And the circles were guys who you talk to them every chance. In their ear, talking to them, you know, trying to get them off their game, pokes, punches after the whistle, because they were either soft and it would make them back off and be hesitant, or their snap shows and they take a penalty.
Yeah.
Squares are guys that you would engage by doing that. So you just don't hear them.
You look down.
You don't talk to them. They don't exist. You're a robot to them.
You know who would be a square is Jerome Iginla. Remember Jerome Iginla? Like,
don't get him mad.
He'd be sleeping through a game and then someone would punch him and he'd be like, the best player of all time.
That's a perfect example. And to me, the Panthers, you would really have to be selective with that lineup about who do you want to engage and who do you not want. And this is something that Kip talks about a lot, is kind of knowing when it's time to punch first and read the game situation and stand up for yourself and knowing when to not take stupid penalties. You know, we're talking about Robertson off the top of the show.
Yeah. Circle.
Yeah, total circle. Yeah. And he's a guy who can't take penalties and stay in the lineup. And here he is. He's taken, I don't know, four penalties in the last couple weeks.
Including a slap shot after the whistle for no reason.
Yeah, real Nico Mikkola move there.
Yeah, but you know who's another sneaky circle on the Leafs, if I was in the Florida Panthers room, is Ulrikman Larsson.
Try to get him.
He has taken, I've thought that he's given them great value on the contract. Probably perfect value. Exactly what they signed him for.
I think he's given him value. He's played 21 minutes a night this year.
He's been good for them. He's been a good signing.
Yeah.
But if there's one nitpick that I've had of him this year, it's been he's been pretty willing to take a stupid one from time to time.
You like that?
I do, but in a game like against Florida where it's going to be tight and it's going to come down to special teams, if I'm Paul Maurice and I'm doing circles and squares, circle.
It is funny.
Circle, baby.
It is funny that there are games where you're not the tougher team, and so you're all amped up to be like, okay, we can't let them push us around, and then you take dumb penalties because you're, overreacting to things.
It's a hard balance, and that's why teams who are the initiators, like Florida, are so hard to beat.
Yeah.
Because they piss you off so bad, and you want, and then they have a killer power play. They have guys that just live for that stuff. So tomorrow night should be fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
It's funny if you were to go through the Leafs lineup and look at those guys. Marner's definite circle.
Yes.
He's a guy who in the playoffs has not. And Matthews is a circle too. Willie doesn't matter.
No.
Doesn't matter. No. You can try, but it doesn't matter.
I gotta tell you, buddy.
They got a lot of circles.
There's a popular convenience store in this country called Circle K. That's the Leafs. It's only circles, buddy.
Oh no.
Who are you? I guess. Well,
McCabe's a square.
Yeah.
I don't want to get him fired up.
But he starts jumping up and trying to do crazy stuff when he gets mad. They're a bit of a circle team, buddy.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I got some questions because tomorrow, as you mentioned, we're not on. It is the first work from dome day for the Jays.
Is that a phrase you made up?
No, that's the thing. So it's they promote it as you can go down there and work.
Bring your laptop.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure everybody does it.
Tons of laptops.
Quick Zoom meeting in the flight deck. I'm sure that happens all the time. But anyway, so we're off tomorrow. And we usually do the midweek mailbag on Wednesdays. So I thought before we get to Anthony Petrelli always screwed up. He gets mad at me. He's coming on at 4:30. I thought we'd get a couple questions from our listeners for the mailbag.
All right.
So a lot of these questions are playoff sort of related. Mm. And this one to me is a perfect sort of encapsulation of how Leaf fans are, and this is from Frank Starovich on Twitter, maybe is how you pronounce it.
Sure.
Can you tell my Debbie Downer Leaf friend why this year will be different? He thinks out first round guaranteed. And I have been Debbie Downer Leaf friend.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really been able, and maybe we'll talk about this a little bit with Anthony too at 4:30. But I haven't really been able to. Maybe it's just guarding. Maybe it's just not letting myself get there.
Oh, it's guarding.
But I kind of am the Debbie Downer. It's what is different? It's the goalies, and that's the biggest difference. The defense is deeper. That's a big difference. But when it comes down to it, you know what we're going to talk about. It's going to be the forwards. It's going to be the stars. Are they going to be able to score when it matters the most?
Yeah.
But can you tell the Debbie Downer Leaf friend it's going to be different?
Yeah, I can
and
do
that's
my,
from Frank on Twitter.
I can do my best.
Thank you.
First off, I do believe that there is a layer of guys behind the top four that they haven't had in Knies and McMahon.
Yes.
Who has been there that could be that in the playoffs? Bunting?
Yeah.
You know, they to me, Knies is leagues better than whoever their next best fifth forward has been. So you got a couple guys who could score you a sneaky one when the puck gets on their stick. I do think their depth is a little bit more physical, maybe not fighty, but they're still more physical. I like the D depth a bit better. I would say a lot of the reasons the Leafs don't look good by underlying metrics are the reasons you think they might be okay in playoffs. Like they dump the puck in. They don't try to hang on to it. They just kind of flip it out. These are all kind of playoff-y things. And then I think a lot of their underlying metrics have been hurt by the fact that Matthews stunk for half a season and they were without, you know, certain pieces at certain times. And I can see a world where it comes together at the right time and if you win the division, I know Ottawa's no pushover. No one is in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But it isn't the team that's going to go win the Stanley Cup. The last teams they've won to, or they've lost to, I mean, Florida went to the Cup Final.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, I don't know if they Cup Final or what they did.
No, they did. They went to the Cup Final and lost to Avalanche.
Yeah. You know, they've lost to Tampa Bay when they won the Cup. Boston won the Cup when they beat them. They've lost to a lot of good teams. Even Montreal that one year.
They went to the final.
Went to the final.
Yeah.
They've lost to real teams. That ain't Ottawa.
Yeah.
No offense to the Sens fans, but they're not there.
Okay. Kyle Hodgins with a very related question. Is it just idiotic fandom to not want to play the Ottawa Senators with the risk of losing to them? Or is there logic to it?
Yeah.
Should I say I'm an Ottawa area Leaf fan? Okay. Now we're starting to understand some of the reasons. Dominated the Sens in playoffs when I was in high school. Yes, brother, you're speaking my language, Kyle. And as pathetic as it is, that's like my best memory of being a Leaf fan.
Yeah.
This could be me in the Ottawa. This is Ottawa me.
Yeah.
But I think
Sen McKee.
Talking about the guardedness.
Yeah.
And we talked about this a little bit last week where you guys made fun of me. But I don't think it's just Ottawa area Leaf fans that feel like this.
Mm-hmm.
Where when you've only had bad memories with a team like this, where you've had one great one when they won the first round series and Kipper loves the crap on it, but since he's not here, that was great. And I love that so much. And I'll always cherish that
puck. Three OT winners.
That puck trickling over the line, Tavares turnaround wrister. I will cherish that with all my favorite sports. I mean, it was great. First round, don't care. Pathetic, don't care. Kipper not here to make fun of me. But I think building, like, just on all the heartbreak and all the bad ways if it's gone, I do think there's some Leaf fans that it's like, we're going to add in a first-round loss to the Ottawa Senators to that brew, to that, like, that.
At least you would never have to wonder what if.
To that witch's brew.
If they lost to Ottawa, you would never have to wonder what if. Because they were never good enough to beat anyone.
But. Like, are the Leafs going to win the cup?
Oh, I mean, that's several steps down the road.
That's the question. That's like,
seems unlikely.
Even if they just beat Ottawa, that's a great win for Leaf fans everywhere. That means a ton. But I think what Kyle's saying is not just Ottawa area fans. I think a lot of Leaf fans, myself included.
I actually spent a little time today in the car thinking about that Ottawa team and just playoffs in general and how you do, you know, out of 32 teams and they cut it to 16, you're going to get hockey teams and you're going to get a team here with some excitement that hasn't been in the playoffs, energy, you know, pace. They're going to bring a lot of things that are going to be super hard to contend with.
Yeah.
And I think you would have to go into that series understanding it is a best of seven and that, you know, the first game is it's going to be frenetic and you don't even have an advantage when you have a slightly less talented team that works as hard as they're going to work. But you can't pick through their lineup and say they can match up with the Leafs in many places. Like,
except the five straight victories against the Leafs.
Yeah. And I know the regular season has gone their way, but you know how hockey is.
Yes.
So anything can happen. They certainly could lose, but Matthews and Marner are supposed to be, you know, McKinnon and whoever other good forward they had there. I don't know, it was Rantanen.
Yeah.
And Draisaitl and Leon. Like, they're supposed to be that. They're supposed to be difference makers, where Stützle, he's not quite there yet. Brady Tkachuk is kind of hurt right now. He's not playing this week. You know, David Perron's on their second line. Michael Amadio's on their third line. There's holes. So,
okay.
I know it would be scary, but you got to beat someone. If you can't beat them, you can't beat anyone.
Absolutely. All right, this one's from Budget Boss on Twitter. Okay. Can we please start referring to Tavares, Nylander, and McMahon as the number one line on the Leafs?
No.
Okay. They have 20 more goals than the Matthews line, 97 for 77. Even if we strip out the power play goals, Tavares' line still has 13 more goals, 70 versus 57. And by the way, the gameplay is almost even too, 207 versus 202.
What's the ice time?
I don't know.
Yeah, well.
Budget Boss left that part out.
I haven't even looked at it, so I will give it a quick toggle. But, you know, it's the guys who get the most points and score the most and play the most is your first line, right?
Okay.
Let's have a quick summary here.
Can you look it up?
Yeah, I'm on it.
Okay.
TUI per game played.
I can read a couple box scores while you look it up there.
No, we're fine. Top forward, Mitch Marner, 21-24. Yep. Second best forward, Matthews, 20-36. Willie is under 20 minutes, and John Tavares plays 18-20 a night.
Okay. There you go. Sorry, Budget Boss. You can't refer to them as the first line. Phil Kesselclaws on Twitter.
Okay.
All of this nice offer sheet talk has me really spooked. What's the number and term to get a contract done before the postseason? Well, brother, I mean, that's in 2 weeks.
We're here.
Or 3 weeks.
We're
like,
there.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's going to be starting anywhere from the 19th to the 21st. So we're a couple weeks away, 3 weeks. I don't think it's getting done before the playoffs.
No.
And I do think there's a world where that's really scary.
I also wouldn't want to burden him with the weight of a new contract. Players often, after they sign a big ticket, mm-hmm. like there's this new pressure on them and it doesn't go great for a bit.
Yeah.
If they gave Matt Nyes an 8-year deal and it's for whatever, $64 million mm-hmm. or something like that, like that's, I don't want to add that to him right before playoffs.
There is something to like making one of these guys stay hungry.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And having like, it's a real, you know, chicken and the egg situation here. But if you have Matthew Nyes, if the Leafs go on a great playoff run this year, potentially, Matthew Nyes is going to be a big part of it.
Yeah.
And the best problem you can have is that he earns a big contract, is that he's a stud for them. He scored an overtime winner against the Bruins last year. He was on the ice for all three overtime winners against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Right, too. Like,
he has scored overtime winners in college. He is not afraid of the moment. He's not – he, to me, feels like that a little bit different than a lot of the Leafs stars. He doesn't have the scars. He kind of feels confident in these bigger moments. Like, I really do feel
like that
he could be a bit of an X factor. And guess what? That may drive the price of his contract up.
Great.
But if it costs
– drive it up.
If it costs $2 million more per year because he's – unbelievable and leads them to the conference finals or the final,
yeah,
and you'll spend the extra money.
Yeah.
So I understand that it's spooky and there's already talk about, I saw Friedge talking about the Flyers got 7 first round picks. Maybe they'll do an offer sheet, blah, blah, blah. He didn't mention Nyes, but that stuff's going to start bubbling up here, and I get it because he's a stud, but I'm really not too worried about it.
They just have so much cap space.
Yes.
Like without Marner and Tavares that they can play with that they're going to match whatever. The only difference that Kip and I have on this, and I know he would push back on this very conversation, is that, you know, I do think he's so valuable at a time when other people are appreciating that offer sheets can work.
Yeah.
And that, yes, you would match, but you don't want to let someone else set the number.
Yep.
You just don't want to let someone else. They're going to keep him. You just don't want someone else to
set the number. That's fair. Quick one. We have about a couple more minutes here. This is a bigger picture one. We've talked about this before. But I love this conversation, and I want to bring it up. This is from Noah Chant on Twitter. Oh, no, it's not from him. Oh, sorry, I screwed you up there. Where did I lose it? Oh, yeah, it's from DSE Sports. Sorry, Noah Chant. Don't have time. DS Sports on Twitter. If Toronto ever got a second NHL team, would you guys cheer for them too or stick with the Leafs? I know that team would win a cup first, that's for sure. Of course, that's...
Oh, for sure.
That is no question.
Yeah.
But I think... That is my absolute dream for another team.
Mm-hmm.
Because
would you jump ship?
Oh my God, no! Immediate chastise. Like there's no. Like I'm telling you right now that if you jumped, you're like, I'm a Toronto whatever fan now.
Yeah.
You are the biggest loser ever.
Yeah.
Like it sucks to be a Leafs fan. I understand it.
There would be a lineup at the door to go root for the Huskies.
No question. And you never. Whenever you go to a Leafs, whenever you watch a Leafs Panthers game on TV or like a Leafs Avalanche game on TV or a Leafs whatever random team, there's always like 5 guys in the crowd that are like cheering with their like Panthers jerseys on. Those are the type of guys that are jumping shit. The guys are like, I've been a Panthers fan for, oh, shut up. You're from Scarborough. Like, why are you, like, what are you talking about? It's like, oh, I love the Avs. You're from Thornhill, brother.
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing this to yourself and everybody? It's like an attention-seeking thing. And everybody who is that type of fan would immediately jump ship to the new Toronto team. And it would be such a great rivalry.
You know what always killed me was, if you're a New Yorker, you're on Long Island, you are, you know, the teams are divided. Nets, Jets, Mets, Islanders. Yeah. And then it's Rangers, Giants, yada, Knicks, yada, yada. Bree's dad, so Clark Gillies, always, it always kind of killed me. He just cheered for New York teams outside of course, Islanders, not the Rangers. Because he just liked the action in the city.
Love that.
He liked when there were events and parties and people were up.
When you win 4 cups for a team, you don't care about rivalries. You're like, I like fun. Like, it doesn't matter.
Probably changes the vibe.
Nobody's going to be like, Clark, you're cheering for, we don't like you.
Yeah.
It's like,
but I do think that there would be Toronto sports people are like, we just want to see a parade.
No. If you're that type of person, we can't be friends. All right, that's it.
All right, well, we're going to check out here, and we're going to come back with Anthony Petrilli. We're going to ask him how to say it. Writer at Maple Leafs Hot Stove and someone I think does a terrific job covering the Leafs. Happy to get him on, and we will talk to him after this break.
Everything you need to know about the Blue Jays, Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Real Kipper and McKee. today, except it's real born in McKee, I guess. It's me and Sam. That's who it is. You can see if you're watching on TV. We are now joined by Anthony P. I say like I'm at an AA meeting. Petrielli. You guys, is that right?
How's it going, boys?
Good, buddy. Hey, can you say it for us?
Petrielli?
Petrielli.
Okay, no, we're right.
Petrielli.
We're right.
All right.
Or you can roll the R and get the Italian in there.
I'm not going to attempt to do that. We really appreciate you joining us, man. For people who don't know, Anthony's at Maple Leaf Hot Stove, and I check out your Monday column every week. It's one of my favorites. You follow the team extremely closely, do a lot of lineup machinations, as do I, trying to figure out what the best version of this team is. So we'll keep it general for now. Robertson out, Pacioretty out right now. How do you like the state of the Leafs forward group heading into playoffs?
I mean, the way it's kind of configured is it all falls on the top six, right? Like, you're not going to get much offense here from the bottom six lines. Like, that's just the reality of it. But their top six is really good. Like, their top six on paper is fantastic. The Nylander, McMahon, Tavares line is winning their minutes. Like, the top line is, like, they're a legitimate top line. Like, they're one of the best top lines in the league. But we've kind of seen this before. I think this might be the best second line they've ever had going into the playoffs. I don't know if that's a controversial take.
I don't think so.
Like, Nylander's second in the league in goals. Tavares is shooting the lights out this year. Like, McMahon is a legitimate 20-goal power forward. Like, it's probably the best second line they've ever had going into the playoffs.
So
but we've seen...
Go ahead, bud.
We've seen this where, like, they need the top line to win their minutes. And is the top line going to win their minutes, notably, against, you know, Barkov, against some level of matching up between the Sorelli line and the Braden Point line? And then if they don't, is that third line giving you basically anything to hedge against them just having, like, a reasonable goal differential? That's the question. Like, is the third line giving you anything?
We got Lawton, Domi, Yarncroc is the third line right now.
Yeah, so all that stuff you said there, Anthony, is, you know, you can talk about the fear, and we talked about it a little bit in our first block there with one of the Ottawa Leaf fans chiming in on their fear of playing the Ottawa Senators potentially. But when you lay it out like that, the way you just did in terms of who the matchups would be for the first line for the Toronto Maple Leafs, with some Barkovs involved, with Braden Points involved, you know, Four Nations stalwarts. I guess, you know, Brady Tkachuk was pretty good at the Four Nations too. But when you put it like that, it really, you should get over your fear if you're a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, because it is a much, much easier task for the top players of the Leafs than it is going up against Florida or Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, their power play is also humming, right? Like, they haven't had the benefit.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to say the power play is officially going to be good in the playoffs. No. Like, I don't think anything they could do would make anyone feel good about it until they actually do it in the playoffs.
Maybe next year they'll get hot at the start of April, as opposed to the start of March. And last year it was February. They'll start closer to the right month.
We'll see if they carry it through. I mean, you got Florida this week. You got Florida again next week in Tampa. So it'll be interesting to see. And at the same time, if they're going to give up anything the other way, which we kind of saw some cracks last week, like the shorty against San Jose. Mm-hmm. LA could have scored twice. But all that to say is a good power play would negate some of the lack of offense from the bottom six and any potential, you know, the top line goes against Barkov and they're, you know, they score four and they give up three kind of thing over a series. A really good power play makes up for some of that. So we've kind of seen, like, both worlds. The power play hasn't done them any favors basically any year. And they're probably a little bit deeper in the top six. Like, if we go back to that LA game, I thought, like, Nyes was amazing that game.
Yeah.
Like, he was unbelievable. They haven't, like, you're talking like Michael Bunting.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking like Zach Hyman was good here, but he wasn't like what he is in Edmonton. He
never had 50 points, did he? I don't think.
Oh, right. So, like, Nyes, like, this version of Nyes is probably also the best left winger that Matthews and Marner have ever had. And it's probably the best top six in general that they've had. We already talked about the second line. So I get why they want to go with it. Like, it's a really good top six. Mm-hmm. But if the third line is just getting tilted by Anton Lundell, who, like, he had 17 points last year in the cup run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he was like, they're good. Like, Florida is a nightmare for matchups for anybody. Like, that's why they've won, what, 7 of their last 8 playoff series. Like, like, you guys know, like, playoffs is all about matchups, and Florida has a matchup problem. But this is also the benefit of the Leafs improving their defense, right? Like, it gives them a little bit of wiggle room.
Mm-hmm. So does Pacioretty make you feel better about the bottom six at all? Eh.
Not like,
don't sound too excited.
Can he get you a goal, like one goal a series?
Yeah. You know, I mean, like, you're not even like, joking. Like, can they find you a goal here? Yeah.
That would be a big deal, though. Like, I know last year when Florida got Tarasenko at the deadline, like, that was what Maurice said to him. Like, we just need a goal from you every series. Like, you get one, like, notable goal, and, like, that's it. Yeah. I don't think Pacioretty now is as good as Tarasenko last year. But, like, all these guys, like, Lawton, Pacioretty, like, even Domi, it's like, can you get a goal? Like, can you each get a goal, a series kind of thing? Because the top line and the power play should theoretically produce.
Yeah. And in the style of game that Berube seemingly wants him to play, and, like, you think of that LA Kings game, which I thought was one of their better performances of the year, it's a 2-1 game. You know, look at every game last year in the playoffs. It was either 2-1 or 3-2. They're all these really tight-checking games. So, like you're mentioning there, the margins are thin. It's not going to be like you're getting blown out, or, I mean, there may be one or whatever, but, like, if you get a couple from your top line, get one from the power play, get one, you start to add up the goals that you actually need to win a series. It's not as many as you think. You just got to keep it out of your own net.
Yeah, and, like, they're not that I want to sit here and totally talk up this team, but, like, again, like, their goaltending is some of the best goaltending they've had going.
Stolarz for you to start?
I mean, it's probably easier to turn to Joseph Woll if Stolarz doesn't do well, but I'm mindful that Woll's the only guy between the two that started a playoff game before.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been good in the playoffs. Like, I'm still kind of the mind of just, like, let the season play out. Like, Stolarz is going to go tomorrow. We know Woll's going to get one of the two next week, and Stolarz as well. I feel like we'll probably have a better indication after these next three to five games, right? Like, in there, you have, like, Columbus, who's been a problem for the Leafs this year. Like, they play Montreal coming up, like, which is, like, you know, Montreal's fighting for their lives right now. So, like, yeah, I kind of want to see those games kind of play out. Because, like, you know, again, Woll's been really good in the playoffs. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you could necessarily go wrong starting with either guy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, which is a position they haven't been in the past. You know, as we sort of pick through the various matchups and the way they're shaping up, how confident are you that Morgan Rielly can be the guy we have seen him be in the past? Do you think it's behind him? Where are we at with Rielly?
I saw you had some stats last week about his speed, and it's been down this year. And, like, that's the problem, right? Like, his game is predicated on skating, right? Like, we're watching Tavares have an unbelievable year. Tavares was never a strong skater in the, like, 18 years old. Like, he was not a strong skater.
Yeah, he scored 72 for Oshawa. He wasn't a great skater.
He can still score well, not skating great.
He was heavy below the top of the circles in Oshawa. He's heavy below the top of the circles for the Leafs. Like, you know, he's playing with two guys with speed, and they get him the puck down there, and he does his thing. It's like, you're Rielly, you're kind of looking at going, well, if the skating is kind of on the decline, you're in tough. Like, I know you've kind of had this complaint with him previously, Bourne, like, on the power play. It's like picking out the right pass, even, like, just putting it in the wheelhouse. Like, he's not, like, a passer. Like, he's a skater. And so I'm a little bit worried. But, you know, if we talk about that LA game, what they tried to do, which I think makes sense, is they had the McCabe-Tanev pair try to play with the Tavares line, right? Especially against an LA team that was trying to match up Deneau against Matthews. And so then they're putting their top line, the Kopitar-Kempe unit, against the Tavares line and trying to exploit a matchup. But the Leafs are countering with, you know, one of the best shutdown pairings in the league. So then on the flip side, now you're playing Rielly and Carlo with Matthews, Marner, and Knies. And it makes their life a lot easier, right? Like, what does, you know, just don't get burned, basically, and move the puck up to those guys and let them do their thing. So, you know, they're going to try to shelter him, understandably so. And Carlo is a big help. Like, Carlo's a legitimate top four defenseman. Like, this was, like, they needed a righty. Like, kind of been saying it all year, right? Like, they needed another righty that could play in the top four and kind of move the defense around a little bit. And, you know, I know it's not, like, we're kind of complaining about the third line. It's like, did they do enough at forward? Maybe not. But on defense, it really kind of opens up their options and their matchups at the top half of the lineup. And, you know, defensemen just play more than forwards. Like, that's just the simple math of it. So that's why it's a big deal.
So, I think we had the conversations going into the deadline that it was almost maybe even more important that they got a defenseman to kind of to round out the depth. And boy, they left there to the last second, but they end up with Carlo. And do you think you've seen an improvement in Riley since Carlo's? Like, do you think they've been growing together? Because there's been games where it feels like they have looked better, but that sometimes it seems like the chemistry's off, the communication's off. I think of that goal. Who's that against where they're pointing in the wrong direction and
Boston
Carlo
or
sinks
Nashville.
Low? Anyways, whatever it was. I really do think that Carlo pickup was an incredibly important one and a really good one. And he's grown in importance to them, grown in just been impressive. Do you think that Riley has gotten better with him, or it's been a lot of more the same with him?
I think it's been like somewhat the same, but he's just benefiting from playing with a better partner.
Yeah.
And it's like the lack of ambiguity, right? It's like, we know every night who he's playing with and it's a lot more settled. I honestly think where they get into trouble a little bit is how they might move around their defense a little bit too much. Right. Like, in the sense that Riley takes a lot of shifts with Oliver and Larson on like for offensive zone draws and whatnot. And I was looking at it over March. Ekman Larson was second among their D-men in time on ice per game.
He plays a ton.
Yeah.
Like, and he's good.
Probably, he is good, but probably too much. Like, yeah. I don't know if he's like second in time on ice among D-men good for like a Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah.
But he is good. So, you know, I also think that they're realistically like they're resting Tanev.
Oh, do you think so?
Yeah, like Tanev's playing like 19 minutes a night right now.
I have noticed that every night it's like he's like the fourth most used guy. And I'm like, yeah, Tanev's fourth most.
Yeah, right? Like they can't possibly sit there and think that Tanev is their fourth best D-man.
No.
Right? Like, Dallas did the same thing last year. Like, when they traded for him, he played like 19 a night. And then playoffs, he played over 22 a night.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Like, the dominant effect.
I'll be interested to see tomorrow night, though, I wonder. Because who was it that him and McCabe hard matched against Colorado? When was that? When they ended up winning that game. Mm-hmm. And I think him and McCabe both played like 25 in that game. They were hard matched against McKinnon. Be interested to see tomorrow if they, you know, take the sports car out a little bit and actually let him match up, or they still try to keep it. Because tomorrow, like, you know, the stand is a massive game in the standings. Yeah. With so few games left, it rarely comes down to the end of the – like, it's been nice for the Leafs. Because every year we've known since December that they're either playing Boston or Tampa. So to have this
terrible for radio.
even for fandom, you just kind of know what's happening. You kind of disengage. To have this huge game, and maybe they'll take the shackles off Tanev a little bit tomorrow and play him a bit more against the Panthers.
Tomorrow's a must win. Like, you can't possibly lose to Florida at home on a tired Florida team that played the night before. It's their third game in four nights in general.
Yeah.
Like, you're rested, you've been home for a couple days, you're in your home barn, you haven't had success against Florida this year. Like, you can't, like, you just can't lose that game. Like, I'm just, like, there's no excuse for it.
And they can.
They can. There's no excuse. Like,
fair.
You can't lose that game.
Yeah.
And I already saw Florida's starting Vanecek tonight.
Yep.
So they got Bob tomorrow. Like, they know, like, there's a chance here where, I mean, Florida struggled with Montreal this year. And now they're putting in Vanecek, who's not a strong goalie. Like, they lose that game, like, you're looking at putting Florida in the dust if they lose tonight, and then you got, you know, take care of business tomorrow on a tired Florida team. Like,
they're going to mop Montreal by like six tonight and rest everyone. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Right? Like, and now you got to worry about Tampa. Like, Tampa's right there. Like, they probably haven't received enough love, but like, Tampa's. Like, they're in the conversation. Like, they're really good.
And Tampa's got a softer schedule down the stretch too.
Yeah, and the Leafs play them tired, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they get them on the second half, the back-to-back next week.
Yeah, that's not great. That'll be an interesting matchup to watch. Last one from me, and Sammy, you have one more, and we'll let you go. Just the thoughts on the fringe of the D-core there. Myers hasn't played in quite a while. Benoit's kind of just become the guy. Are you down with just we're doing Benoit, and if Myers needs to get in, we'll see?
No, I know you got a hard time on the panel for the Sunday game, but, like,
they got to anyone Myers who knows what they're talking about.
Like, they got, like, you got to start giving it to Friedman. Like, I don't know what he's going on about. Like, you got this righty D-man. Like, he's got to play.
Yeah.
Like,
get him in.
Like, Berube last week said, I don't
know. Send him to the Marlies. What's that, right? Sorry?
Berube last week said, I don't love OEL on the right side. I'm like, how are you justifying this?
You've got a right shot D in the garage.
Yeah. Like, play him. Like, I don't even know if it would be better, but I don't know how it's not worth trying. Like, is Simon Benoit such a good second unit penalty killer?
He's a glue guy
on the left hand side.
He's funny.
Yeah. Like, just like that's their justification at this rate, right? Like, it's definitely the penalty kill. Like you're making Oliver Ekman-Larsson worse. And like we saw this with him earlier in the year, where they put him on the right, and then like his game, you know, I don't want to say fell apart, but it definitely went down. And then they put him back on the left, and he looked really good. And now he's back on the right, and it's like he struggles. Like he really struggles to make passes on breakouts. Like it just backhand off the glass and out. Like he's not even looking for outlets half the time. Yeah. And I don't blame him because he's turning and it's awkward and the game tightens up. And so like I don't know what the return on investment is here. If again, like it's second unit PK, like Oliver Ekman-Larsson can't second unit PK on the left. Like even Morgan Riley on occasion.
Right.
Like also their penalty kill's not good.
Also there's that.
We don't have a ton of time here, but let me play devil's advocate here on I'm a proud homeowner on Myers Island. Mm-hmm. Like I have praised Myers at times this year, but I know what it looks like.
Yeah.
He's going to come in. He's going to try to shoot the puck really hard. He's going to try like
7 shot attempts per game.
He's not like,
I love that though.
But there's something to be said for having a guy that knows what he is and knows what his role is and takes a puck, bangs it off the glass, hammers guys, physically engage versus Benoit. Who's like, oh, sorry, versus Myers. Who's beaver tailing for a pass every time. And like, every guy has a role. And like what's
Benoit's a rare punch first guy.
What's Lou saying?
It's the orchestra.
Yeah.
I mean, not everyone can play the flute.
Everybody needs a butcher once in a while. And like, I know Benoit is far from perfect, but I know what the Myers experience is and he will get in, but like, I'm not pining for it. I'm not pining for it. And I get why they haven't put him in. I do.
If Ekman-Larsson is a 7 on the right with Benoit, let's say,
yeah,
call him a 7. I think it's a generous number. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Like, what is he back on the right, on the left?
Like eight? Yeah. Five? Like, there's no question he's better on the left. I understand that. But then in a playoff game, we got to go here quickly. But even in a playoff game, Myers is going to play, 7-8 minutes? And then you're going to be playing Oliver Ekman-Larsson on the left anyway. I mean, on the right anyway. Like, it's going to be, I don't know, it's pick your poison. It's the lesser of two evils for me.
I just want to get a little cardio in there.
We're trying. Like,
sure.
To Bourne's point on Sunday, like, you're going to need 7-8 D-minutes like, over a long playoff run. Like, if his last game is March 10th, and then, you know, 3 weeks from now, someone gets hurt and Myers is playing for the first time in, like, a month and a half, you know, sit there and go, like, was there any foresight here?
Hey, you just wait till Yanni Hakanpaa plays the Tampa Bay Lightning for his first game since 2024.
That's the real plan. That's they're right. Just waiting on Hakanpaa at this point.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Thanks for having me on, boys.
All right. That's Anthony Petrilli of Maple Leaf Hot Stove. I really get your point.
Yes.
And I think my point is more just like cardio, game speed, reps.
Sure.
Get him in.
It's crazy that Myers didn't play against Anaheim.
Yes.
And that's why Benoit had his best game of the year.
I know, he did.
He was awesome.
But then you look at the schedule and you go, okay, Florida, you got Florida, Tampa, maybe against Columbus he gets in.
Yeah.
Yeah, Benoit playing great didn't make me change my mind that it was the wrong decision.
And then,
full credit to him for playing well.
And then Sunday against Carolina on Masters Sunday at 5 p.m.
that I'm working.
That's when Myers will play.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk to Jason Bukala, Dan Riccio, a lot more in the National Hour after this.